Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to eastonroofing.com for more.
Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You heard it. Time for a little Danny Unleashed from DannyKingskill.com. Proudly brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his team, absolutely the best. No payment collected until you are 100% satisfied, commercial, residential. I know they're doing a lot of work down at the lake. That's right. If you get a place down at the Ozarks, big hailstorm. They have been down there, and just about every single roof they're getting up on, turns out it does have damage. Listen, you can find out. Estimates are free. Inspections are free. Find out for yourself. If you live here in KC and you've got a lake house, you know how hard it is to get things done down there. Let a trusted Kansas City company like Easton Roofing make your lake house roofing experience very, very easy. Go to EastonRoofing.com. That's EastonRoofing.com. Joe Spiker and his team are doing a lot of roofs down there. They'll be happy to help you out. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. You can find out right now. Just go to EastonRoofing.com. They're the best in the business, whether it's your home or your business. They've got you covered. It's Easton Roofing. Let's welcome Danny Klinkscale to the program. Danny, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing just great. I mean, we are just going to have a unbelievably busy and rewarding weekend, probably a little nerves, probably a couple tears. Maybe as we speak here, other things will be unleashed because some members of my family are about to arrive at my house. So there may be, some barking, some other things that are going on, some things unleashed, but, I'm thrilled. I've got a rehearsal dinner just after I finish doing this particular segment and got a wedding tomorrow. And then I've got a whole gang of people coming over to grill on Sunday. And we're going to be touring Kansas City on Monday with my family. So all kinds of stuff going on and a big sports weekend, too.
It's a clink fest is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a clink fest. That's for sure. And a lynch fest.
Where does it rate on the clink scale?
Oh, this is going to rate really high. There's no question about that. This is going to, I mean, if your daughter getting married and you getting to walk her down the aisle and your family being in town and your mom, who's almost 90 years old, you get to see you don't see very often, if that's not going to rank 9.5 on the clink scale, then it's time to jump off a bridge or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the hell would it take for a 10?
Right.
You know?
Leave a little leeway for me doing something stupid, you know, that could drop it a half a point.
Yeah, I love it. All right, let's start with your Kansas City Royals, Danny. First of all, don't you think it's always a good idea to take a couple of days off midweek?
I think it probably can work as a pretty good reset. Curtis has covered on the program, I know, the reasons for this particular change in the schedule, which is kind of understandable. I remember several times over the last few years that the Royals weren't scheduled to play on the 4th of July when they were at home, which always was pretty stupid. And so this game, the game against the Cardinals, was not the first game of the series, was not scheduled to be on Memorial Day. And they're supposed to have Monday and Thursday off, as you mentioned. Cardinals wanted the big gate. They did sell the game out. They sell a lot of games out, actually. But so the Royals get two days off in a row. Yes, they've been rolling. So maybe you want to play again. Two days off is, you know, almost a mini all-star break for this team, but I can't see it as a terrible negative. And maybe for the fans, they can look at it as, hey, you know what? The Royals have been off for a couple. They had a great May. Let's give them a little sample as they come home and play against the Rockies, who aren't particularly good.
Well, that's kind of my point. Like, they seem to finally have some momentum. And now you're going to stop playing. Like, I think baseball needs the rhythm, right? Needs the, you know, here we go, day in, day out. And then maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're going to watch this team take off, right? Like, we're going to find out, and I don't know that there will be a cause and effect that's there. You mentioned the better May. Like, I was like, okay, even though the record doesn't reflect it. The run differential has been significantly better. The schedule has been significantly easier as well, which we pointed out would be the case going into May. I just think you kind of want to keep it going. Where are you? I like the term. Can you squint and see it now? Does Michael Massey look like he's going to be hitterish and be your guy at second? Where do you sit on Bobby Witt at short? Drew Waters is here. He's off to a slow start. I'm not going to panic off just, 13, 14, 15 at-bats, whatever it is that he's got right now. But he's off to a slow start. But at least he's back playing for the ball club. Can you squint and see what the club can look like in a postseason run?
Well, what I can do, what May does for me is keep me from really being completely down on the process right here in this year one of J.J. Piccolo and his new staff and new manager. I can't say that one month that was a losing month still, that still featured indifferent pitching, but, you know, certainly improvement. What it did for me is, I said jumping off a bridge. What if they had continued playing in May the way they did in April, you're starting to think, well, this whole mess just doesn't work. I mean, they're going to have to start from ground zero. Their young hitters aren't doing anything. Their pitchers are terrible. Brady Singer has taken a giant step back. So May kind of calmed the waters a little bit, but I think that's just one month. So I think that is what makes June and the run up to the All-Star break important for this team, whether they show that, you know, April was the fluke or that May was just a little ray of sunshine because everything has to return slightly to the mean unless you're the Oakland A's.
Show of hands, Michael Massey is the guy at second base. Who's ready to put their hand in the air on that?
I'm not putting my hand in the air yet. I'm not putting my thumb down, but.
Well, that's the next
one. Not to stake a claim that he is the guy, I think we're not there yet.
Michael Massey is not the guy. Anyone want to put their hand up that?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to, give it a meh. I'm not going to say he's not the guy either. Those are pretty good numbers for a month. I mean, they are. Those are major league regular numbers. Your second baseman, if he did what he did over the last 3 weeks especially, that's a second baseman.
How do you look at – we talked about this a couple of days ago. If you took Bobby Witt's numbers and put them on Michael Massey and put Michael Massey's numbers and put them on Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals fans would feel a lot better about the future of their ball club because the great numbers would be coming from a player from whom greatness is expected, and they would therefore seem more reliable. How do you view that idea, and how do you think teams view what a player can or cannot be based on what he's doing compared to what they expected from him?
Well, I think that it would be a lot better for Royals fans if he had Michael Massey's numbers, because we're starting to get into the point of time where I know they said, or in the Dayton Moore era, they used to say 1,500 at bats, but we're up to what, 750? No, maybe not quite that many, but 650, 700 at bats now for plate appearances for Bobby Witt. And you much longer than now, and you're starting to think, well, this is kind of what he is. Guy who has power, but is not going to get on base, misses some hittable pitches, seems like he can get beat by the fastball, but still a dangerous player with great wheels and seemingly an improving defender. So it's hardly a disaster, but this guy is supposed to, he's supposed to be a star. And right now he's is trending toward being a good Major League Baseball player, but maybe not a star.
To your point, Danny, 873 plate appearances.
Wow.
At the end of the year, as he does at least look fairly durable, he played 150 games last year. He's going to be at 1,250, 1,300. I mean, we're going to be knocking on the door of that 1,500 very quickly. What if this is what he is, what does that mean that the rest of the club has to be like?
Well, the Royals have... The championship Royals were the rare team that really didn't have an MVP style player. Now, I know Lorenzo Cain, finished third, I think, in the MVP voting, but they didn't really have a superstar player. That's pretty unusual to have no superstar players as a position player. So what that would mean is that somebody else has to fill that role. And right now, maybe 3 weeks ago, you thought that maybe Vinny Pasquantino was morphing into that particular role as a hitter, but recently, he has kind of tailed off and seemed a little bit vulnerable, chasing more pitches, which isn't usually what we saw in his first, say, 300 or 400 plate appearances in his career. So you're likely going to need somebody else to be a star. And where do you see that? I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. But I also am aware that it can be done without him being the star. I don't know that it can be done today without, you know, the way it was done in 14 and 15. I don't think that team wins if they're playing in today's baseball.
I agree with that. And that's not to take anything away from that team. They played at that time and they were the champions. And certainly in 2015, there was nothing fluky or whatever about that team. They went out and rampaged people. Their run differential was good. They didn't get all the greasy wins that I used to call them that they did in 2014. Right. That was a legit team. Now they were at a great moment in time with a couple of the big franchises in the American League down. The Astros hadn't quite gotten to the point where they were championship caliber, although they were close. They almost beat the Royals. But yes, I would say that that team would have a hard time winning the World Series in the context of baseball today.
When is it fair to judge? We've had people already, and I get it, because it's been, you know, J.J. Piccolo's been in Kansas City, been part of the Royals organization the entire time that Dayton Moore was here. And this was what you needed to see, was that if you didn't win, like, you weren't going to get any credit for the changes you made last offseason. It was just going to be immediately viewed as same old regime. That's how it's being viewed. When is it fair to view J.J. Piccolo for his own merits?
Oh, I think we probably need midway next season, maybe. I'd say maybe that's the case. But because I think early on, at least we're seeing signs that they're doing some things differently. Seems like down on the farm, the pitchers are being treated differently. The raid the zone thing seems to, you know, be a thing for them. Seems like they maybe do some more analytical things, although some of the things they do with the lineup seem to be based more on player development. There's no way I think an analytics-driven organization would have had Bobby Witt Jr. hitting leadoff as long as he did. That was, I think, just to get him extra at-bats. But I think we're seeing a difference in approach, but I would say an entire offseason, a trade deadline, and then another half season, and you can start to say where they're going under J.J. Piccolo. Or if what we see is that he does the evaluating of the regime that he took over, the prospects, the pitchers, everything else, and says, nah, and he starts his own way of doing things completely. So that's almost a reset, like a guy getting a rookie quarterback and putting him in there and saying, well, you can't fire me now. I'm this quarterback's just developing. So I think that I'd say All-Star break next year before I'm really starting to make any really serious judgments.
Yeah, I do think some things are being done differently in the minor leagues, right? Like, they're not promoting guys just for having good ERAs. You know, Mazzucato's down there, excellent, like 15 Ks per nine, roughly, strikeout ratio. But he's still walking guys, and they haven't promoted him, right? Like, I appreciate that. Like, he's got 22 walks, I think, in 41 and a third, or at least did a day or two ago. I'm not sure if he pitched the other night. But, you know, that to me is at least a sign that, like, okay, we want you to throw strikes.
Right.
And consistently throw strikes. Not just strike out guys that are going to be selling insurance in 3 years. We want you to throw strikes consistently, because that's ultimately what's going to be success at the big league level. I actually appreciate that.
I think that's right, because – walks are walks. You know, strikeouts at the minor leagues aren't necessarily strikeouts in the major leagues, but walks are walks. Missing the strike zone is missing the strike zone. You walk 22 and 41 innings in the major leagues, there's very little chance you're going to have a good ERA. Very little. Because, I don't know, you can probably take at least 25% off of the strikeouts, I would say, if they're in the major leagues. Maybe way more than that. I mean, we're talking about teenage ball players he's pitching against mostly. So, I think that it is a good sign that they're, you know, this is a raid the zone organization, and you're not doing any raiding.
because we all know that if Dayton Moore would have had his perfect situation with a guy like Mazzucato, he'd be pushing him to double A, and then he'd want him to get up here so that he could say, hey, we got another guy, another one of our top draft picks up here. So we're getting guys to the big leagues. And that doesn't seem to be the way they're doing things right now.
I mean, that is for sure. J.J. Piccolo is not selling hope through Frank Mazzucato. Look how close he is. He's almost here. When he's keeping him that far away, I mean, I think it speaks to there's some kind of greater plan, whether that's, you know, there's a lot of guys down there striking out a lot of guys, and they all look like they're, you know, at least by the strikeout, ready for the next level, and they're not pushing them forward. So I will say this. There's a plan. Right?
There is a plan. Now, it would be.
Is it to polish him up, shine him up, and make him look more attractive to use him in trades? I don't know. Maybe. But if that's the plan, I'm on board for that, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, that's something we haven't seen the Royals do much of at all for a long time, is package, you know, put together. Of course, they've generally been in selling mode most of the time. But if you took, say, Salvador Perez, let's just say that for an example, and you threw a couple of low A prospects who were blowing people away down on the farm, and that seemed attractive enough to boost the return for, say, Salvador Perez or whoever you're going to trade, Scott Barlow, whatever, I don't know. We haven't seen much of that from the Royals.
Right.
So if they've got guys who have good numbers that other GMs can, you know, put on the press release that, Joe Blow down in single A for the Royals has got a 1.64 ERA and he's striking out, 13 per nine innings. That is cover fire for part of maybe a painful trade for the organization.
That is Danny Klinkscale. We'll come back and talk a little NBA Finals. Danny, always brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Listen, they've been on a lot of roofs here over the last few days, right down there at the Ozarks. A lot of damage. In fact, most roofs having damage. It's tough to find people that you can trust down there. If you live in KC and you got a lake house and you're worried about your roof, worry no more. Go to EastonRoofing.com. Joe Spiker and his team, absolutely the best in the business when it comes to taking care of your roof. EastonRoofing.com or call 913-257-5426. Have the peace of mind not only with your home here, but your home at the lake as well. We talk NBA Finals with Danny Klinkscale next.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Before the Heat last night, how many teams had shot just two free throws in an NBA playoff game?
That's never happened. That was the first time it's ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Previous record was three by the Cavaliers against the Nets in 1993 in the first round. The NBA Finals record for fewest was the Lakers at Philly in 1983.
Yeah, not good. I heard that one on SportsCenter last night. Just two free throws. We're talking to Danny Klinkscale, by the way, playing for a little Joe's Kansas City Barbecue there, joeskc.com. Kansas City Barbecue Store's got you covered. You can send Joe's anywhere in the country. JoesKC.com, or you can go get the know-how, the knowledge, the utensils, the tools, the grill, the meat, everything you need to grill like a pro. It's at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. They're at 119th and Strangline, right across the parking lot from Joe's in Olathe. Dan and his staff, absolutely the best. Did a great job getting me on the exact perfect grill that I need. My Traeger is phenomenal, and I'll be using it this weekend. Go see him. It's Kansas City Barbecue Store at 119th and Strangline, online at thekansascitybbqstore.com. How about it, Danny? Danny Klinkscale, brought to you by Easton Roofing, doing a lot of work down at the lake this weekend. If you're worried about your lake house, don't worry anymore. A lot of roofs damaged down there. Give Easton Roofing a call right now at 913-257-5426. See him online at eastonroofing.com. Couldn't have gone much worse for the Heat, Danny. Yet, when it's all said and done, just a couple of trips to the free throw line, not shooting well from three. And yet, they're within 10 late in the game.
They actually cut it to, what, seven at one point or eight? I think they're a tough bunch. I'm not writing them off. Denver's way better. And the biggest thing, glaring thing to me when I was watching that game is just how much bigger the Nuggets are. I mean, they have every bit the skill that Miami has, but they're bigger at, like, way bigger at, like, every position on the floor. And, you know, that's tough to overcome. But they're tough. They're well-coached. So I still am definitely on the Nuggets to win the series, but I'd kind of be surprised if the Heat got swept.
Am I the only one that found it funny that I said that they cut it to within 10? Danny said they cut it to seven or eight. Yeah, that would be within 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, within. I thought you said they cut it to 10. I'm sorry.
No, no, no. It's,
yeah. Well, usually when you say within 10, if they got it closer to that, I'm okay with the with the distinction.
Well, yeah, within 10 is 9 or closer.
Yeah, but if it got to 5 and someone said they cut it to within 10, well, they got it to 5. Well, I think there is a distinction to be found there, but I don't think they got it to 7. I think they got it to 9. But not
yeah, let's continue on with the semantic debate here. Next time. That'd be good.
Let's do that.
Danny Klinkscale with us. By the way, we just gave away Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get you some Joe's this weekend. Best barbecue in the world is Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Joe'sKC.com. You can send it anywhere in the world. And remember, Kansas City Barbecue Store has got you covered at 119th and Strangline, right across from the Joe's in Olathe. That's where you can get your sauces, rubs, utensils, your grill. It's where I bought, I don't know, I think we're 3 and counting. Between my mom's, our old grill, our new grill, our Traeger. I absolutely love that. Go talk to the guys. They'll be great. They set me up with exactly the kind of Traeger I needed. I looked at some that were even bigger. They're like, well, what do you do? What do you cook? And it's like, well, that's probably more than you need. I mean, you can get it, but, and I really appreciate the advice. Get the advice as well from the guys. Dan and the staff are absolutely fantastic. It's the Kansas City Barbecue Store at 119th and Strangline. We're talking to the great Danny Klinkscale here in the program as we break down all that is in the world of sports. Danny, I want to break down the Sporting Kansas City run that they're on. 4-1-1 in their last 6. Is it all fixed?
Well, and I would say in looking good doing it. I mean, this hasn't been, they've been pretty dominant in these games and maybe could have even won more handily, although these have been close to, I mean, the game the other night, the score line's 2-1, but the Dallas scored in extra time with almost never no time left. So,
with frankly, McIntosh being quite foolish and
right, no question about that. So, it does seem that getting healthy and having a rotation and still being able to overcome the fact that Johnny Russell is out, a key factor, and another player's out, that they have enough there to overcome that. I will say that I think they still have something in their holster because I still think Alan Pulido is a bit of a shadow of himself still. I think he's coming, but I think overcoming an injury is proving to be the knee injury proving to be a little more difficult than them. I was at the game on Saturday and there are times he just doesn't seem to have quite the explosion. He's kind of drifting around out there. He's a very intelligent player, so he gets himself to good spots. But I think they still have an improving Alan Pulido to add to the mix here. And Yadi Kinda has come back with good form, and they're getting some other guys close to 90 minutes fit. I think it's impressive. And the thing that's good when you play in MLS is that just about everybody makes the playoffs. So, and there's no real advantages to, it's knockout basically all the way. So, finishing high in the standings isn't even that spectacular. So I think that they're starting to look quite dangerous. And I think Peter Vermes was trying to preach that. And I think he is proving to be right. They've looked good. But, they can't. The thing is, what they did in the first part of the season was put themselves in a position where another little slump, you're in trouble. So,
well, and I'm with you. And I think the one thing that I do worry about, you mentioned Johnny Russell, but also, Graham Zusi comes out of the game hurt. And I think, they'd really found a nice rhythm with Zusi and Espinoza coming off the bench. I don't think they're 90-minute players anymore, and I think that was part of the problem. Like, I agree that injuries and getting the injuries and getting over them, I mean, listen, part of the reason why they were playing 90 minutes was because guys were hurt. But I think also there is an element of, how many times Graham Zusi hasn't played, 3,000 minutes for quite a while now. And so, when you're asking a guy who's getting up there in age, and when you're befuddled how the guy got hurt, and I know that they're, sometimes it's a collision and – old guys get hurt. And so I think where this team is getting to, I think Jake Davis, who we heard earlier, is a really important piece that, that's one of the things, they've got this great academy system. They talk about the academy system. They weren't really getting anything from it for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Right? Every new player comes from someplace else. At some point, and I understand that the system is not fair, frankly. Their territory doesn't have as population to pull from. And listen, Jake Davis is from Michigan. You know, I mean, like they play the shenanigans that other people do. If you remember, Gianluca Busio was from North Carolina. Daniel Schaal, he's homegrown. He's from Hungary. Like, there's some shenanigans that go on. I don't care. You got to do what you got to do. And that's what everybody else does as well. But I think it's important. He's got to play the young guys. There's a little bit of Steve Spagnuolo, I think, in Peter Vermes as well. And I think getting guys, you know, you saw Felipe Hernandez, the game you're talking about last Saturday. Great pass from Roger Espinoza.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work unless Hernandez is riding a rocket. I mean, he shot through the defense because
right.
He has youth, explosion, speed, and that's what set up what was a brilliant goal, pass and then finish where he just tipped it around the goalie and in. Like, that beautiful play doesn't happen if it's a 36-year-old guy up at the top, and it wasn't.
No question. It seems like the players that they bring in are kind of tried and true players in their, you know, late 20s, mid to late 20s, like Eric Tommy, who had a spectacular goal in the game on Saturday. Yeah, you need to get something for it. We saw it, but these guys have to, you want them to be ready. What we saw in the game against Dallas was that Sporting was continually taking advantage of their Davis on the back line, a 19-year-old player that they'd inserted into the back line. And they were just running rampant over him. So you want these guys to be ready. But yes, you know, sport, maybe people who aren't as familiar with soccer who watch the game. I mean, this is really a young man's game. I mean, once 20, starting to get 28, 29, 30, that's old. I mean, maybe they look at it and say, well, look at Lionel Messi or look at Cristiano. Well, these are, you know, generational players. Generally, a player starts to fall off when they're 30, or at least they are fighting time, you know, father time at that point. And there's no substitute for explosion on the pitch, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think they're getting it. And I do think it is, I worry about the depth. What's going to, Rosario seemed to be rubbing his leg as he was coming off. Like, we'll see how healthy they are. Playing a lot of matches. I mean, they're going to play 3 in 6 days here in this stretch. This is after playing 5 and 14 games. Five games in 14 days just a couple of weeks ago as well. So they're in a stretch of a lot of matches right now. But they can at least see the playoffs, and I think that gives them a chance to at least dream a dream. Team DeAndre Hopkins, where do you sit on, like, to what degree would you go to get him?
Well, I almost think the ship has sailed. It seems like he's going to get more money than originally was thought, maybe. And I think that it doesn't seem like there's many players, even if they've made a whole bunch of money, who have the stomach for really giving you a real Mahomes discount, a real Super Bowl champ discount. If a guy who thinks he's on his last or his second to last contract or his last big contract is going to get 15 from one team and you're going to give him 10, he's going for the 15. I mean, maybe if it's a little closer, you'll get the nod. But it seems to me like, from what I'm hearing, that the price has gone up, not down, money-wise for DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't have much optimism at all that they – and I don't think they probably should reach that much for it.
Dynamite answer if I'd asked you, how much optimism do you have that the Chiefs will sign DeAndre Hopkins? Now I'll ask my question again. How far would you go to sign DeAndre Hopkins if you were the Chiefs?
Well, I think I answered that at the end, but I said I wouldn't go as far as it seems like it will take right now,
okay,
monetarily.
I like the Donovan Smith deal, like the Juju Smith-Schuster deal. Like, I'm all for that, bumping it up to like 6 or 7 million as the base instead of
right.
The 3 that it was for both Juju. It was 3.7 for Juju. It's 3 million for Donovan Smith. Then with incentives that, you know, based on the fact that he hasn't played a lot of games the last couple of years, would go down as not likely to be earned, so you wouldn't have to count him against the cap. But if he does end up playing, you know, 12-plus games, he can make that money back, $500,000 per game at the 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 mark, you know, conference championship game, playing snaps in playoff games. You know, I think the Juju deal maybe times 2. I'm down for that. A deal that you can get up towards 17, 18, 19 million, 20 million if you check all the boxes, but for the Chiefs only have to count, you know, 6 to 8 million, 9 million. That's the offer that I make. And if he won't take it, that's fine. But there are guys that will. I mean, I think Tranquil from the Chargers is here because he wants to win a championship. I think Donovan Smith is here because he wants to win a championship. And they'll either get paid by the Chiefs because and they decide, hey, you're better than Willie Gay. We're gonna stay the course with you, and we'll walk on Willie Gay. Donovan Smith, they may go, okay, you're what we wanted, you know, Orlando Brown to be. So here's the 3 for $60, and we can get out from, you know, under it in 2 years. Like, that's, to me, if guys will sign on to play for that, great. If not, you keep your team solid enough that you can live without them.
I agree. Just I don't have to say much to that, because I pretty much am in lockstep with what you said there.
$111 million is what DeAndre Hopkins has made in his career. If he goes to a team for $15 million that you look at and say, think has a 10% chance of winning the Super Bowl, and could have come here for $10 million, for $5 million less, for a team that has a 25 or 30% chance of winning a Super Bowl, that, to me, is it fair to say that that player values money more than he does winning a championship?
Yes.
The idea that teams just want to, guys want to, but would that be considered a criticism or just an observation?
An observation. I think it's fair to say he values money more, and I think it depends on where everybody is in their life and what's going on and who knows what the demands are on him financially. I think absolutely it would mean that money's more, and I think anyone who villainizes that's a jackass.
Right. Well, when you hear players talk, even ex-players, even when you're listening to the NBA and Mark Jackson's on there and he's talking about Caleb Martin, and he's like, what's he start to say when the guy's playing great? Oh, this guy is earning a bag out there. You know, that's a player. That's a player's mentality. Yeah. It's as much a vanity thing, I think, at times as it is a monetary thing. Now, we don't know if DeAndre Hopkins may have spent all of his $100 million. And to your point,
according to some of the statisticians out there, 78% of them are broke. So.
But yes. But to that discussion. To that discussion, it's his money. He can do what he wants to with it. And if he wants more money, I mean, the thing is, it's hard to win the Super Bowl. So just say, well, I'm going to go there for less money and win the Super Bowl. I mean, yes, the Chiefs have the better chance of making and winning the Super Bowl, but it's still hard. And, you know, what if you take one third and then the Chiefs lose the first playoff game? You're like, well, that was pretty dumb. Why did I do that?
Yeah. And I pose that question not because I necessarily think he should go one way or the other, but when you hear fans in this city talk about why Hopkins would want to come here, almost every single one of them brings up, come here and play for Mahomes, win a Super Bowl, or he can go to Detroit and, you know, maybe not make the playoffs. That's not as nearly as big a pull, I think, as fans would like to think it is.
A bunch of people that have never made millions, will never make millions, know they'll never make millions, saying that somebody should not take the millions for a championship is a complete waste of time, is what that is.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, as much as Charles Barkley doesn't like being the only guy on the set, along with Ernie, being, you know, having Kenny and Shaq throwing around championships at him all the time, would he love to have won a championship? Yes. Would he have traded all the money he made for one championship? No.
No. Well, if Charles knew that his post-basketball career was going to be as lucrative as it has been, he might have done things a little bit differently. But nobody has that certainty. I don't think anybody thinks DeAndre Hopkins maybe is going to be sitting on a set making, you know, 25 per after he's done. So, you just don't know. You're working in the present time. And yeah, I won't villainize people for taking the money. Now I might a little bit more if it's DeAndre Hopkins, because he hasn't won yet. Okay. That's one thing. If a guy's already got one, you know, or two, take the money, man, for sure.
And Barkley for money gladly lampoons the fact that he hasn't won a championship. We've all seen that commercial a million times past Chuck. So how many championships do I win? You don't want to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Stop killing him.
I don't care if he's won none or he's won 10. If the guy takes the money, he has no rub with me.
He doesn't really have any rub with me either, but he has a slight more rub if he hasn't won at all. And he's made the kind of money DeAndre Hopkins has made.
That is Danny Klinkscale, brought to you by Easton Roofing. If you've got questions about your lake house down in the Ozarks, trust me, a lot of damage down there. They've been on a lot of roofs. They can take care of yours as well, whether it's your home or your business. Easton Roofing always have you covered. Get that peace of mind, free inspection, free estimate if any work needs to be done. Happy to do repairs, serving the entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka and the Ozarks. Call Easton Roofing today at 913-257-5426. Tough to find people in the Ozarks. Get a great KC company that you can trust. Easton Roofing, up on your roof today. Go to EastonRoofing.com. When we come back, we'll talk some Eli Drinkwitz. Missouri fans, what are they feeling right now? We do it next with Danny Klinkscale. Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Of course, Danny Klinkscale with us. Petro, Siebel, Gravetta, Klink. Danny Klinkscale from DannyKlinkscale.com, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. You can find them online at EastonRoofing.com. You can find them in the Lake of the Ozarks right now. Big hail damage all over the place. I was talking to Joe earlier this morning. He said, you know, it's really been a while since he's seen it like this, where almost every roof, every call that they're going on has got damage. So if you live up here in KC, you know how hard it is to find people that you can trust down at the lake. Easton Roofing is down there. Let them take a look at your roof. Get that peace of mind that you really want. Go to EastonRoofing.com or call Joe and his great team at 913-257-5426. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied, serving the entire metro area, Lawrence and Topeka and the Ozarks. Let them take care of your lake house. Get that peace of mind you need. Get the repairs you might need. Happy to do repairs. Easton Roofing, best in the business, commercial and residential. The only folks that I will have on my roof. All right, Danny, let's talk a little bit about Eli Drinkwitz. You know, he keeps making news. Jason Anderson said it pretty well. He's like, I want to hear about Eli Drinkwitz, and I want it to be about something on the football field, right? Not about comments that he made. What would it have to be this year to make Missouri fans like Jason Anderson feel like it's going in the right direction?
Well, I think the question becomes where Missouri wants to position themselves. Do they actually want to act like they're in the SEC, or do they want to act like a nice Midwestern college fans or whatever? He'd be on a sizzling hot seat at Auburn or Mississippi State right now after a couple of years. And I would think that, you know, and I don't necessarily, I think a lot of times those people are crazy. I mean, that, you know, Auburn had a fine coach in Gus Malzahn, and, you know, he was very accomplished and they fired him. So, or at least he, you know, saw the exit and got the hell out of there. But so I think he's got to pop up with an 8 or 9 win season here soon. I mean, he's just been a 500 coach, and usually that will get you fired in the SEC. Now, I think he's an engaging personality. If you're, you know, on board with the you know, his bravado and bluster, it's cool. But eventually you have to win some games. So I would say that he would need to have a, you know, more than a middling, we just made a bowl game season here. You know, a breakout season would, you know, if he doesn't get that next year, if he's again, you know, just squeaking into a bowl game, or maybe just misses a bowl game or whatever, they're fighting, you know, playing Arkansas for the right to go to a bowl game, whatever. To me, that's not good enough. If you're competing in the SEC, which is only going to get tougher, you know, you might as well strike now. And in the end, are you just going to end up sitting there saying, well, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, and then you're 10 years down the road, and then he's got a 500 record, and you don't want that.
Yeah, I you know, if he goes 10-2 this year, I will be perfectly happy to tell you, I think, I mean, I'll watch how it unfolds, that he saw it coming, because he carries himself right, like he's a 9-3 coach.
Yep.
You know, now whether it's he's doing an impersonation of coaches he's been watching his entire career as an assistant coach and had in his head, well, this is how I want to carry him, and this is how what I want to do and everything. But he acts like he's got it all figured out. And so if he does have it all figured out and wins, it's not going to stun me, because that's how he carries himself. Like, he does not carry himself like a guy who's like, oh, geez, I got to make sure I keep all these people happy, because, like, you know, let me go shake that booster's hand, because they're about to fire me. Maybe he's fishing with the big money boys. You know, maybe, I don't know why, what brings all that confidence to him. He definitely carries himself that way, but it's going to get old real fast. And I'll tell you what I'm tired of personally. You guys are going to get me in trouble.
Right.
Like, listen, being asked a question, I'm tired of the whole, you ask somebody, well, do you think DeAndre Hopkins still has a left in the tank? Well, I don't know why you think that guy's done. No. I asked you a question.
Yeah.
It's on you to tell me what you think. Like, you can't even ask anyone a question now that they're not so freaking insecure that somehow it's loaded or divided. And I get
also,
it. Because
don't
go ahead.
Don't be glib. Don't be glib about it. If you think it's a bad question or you don't like the question or you don't want to answer the question, just don't freaking answer it. You know, I mean, say, I don't like that question. I don't want to answer that question. That's an inappropriate question. Have some guts. Don't say, well, you know, you guys are trying to get me in trouble and then give a 5-minute answer.
Exactly.
That to some people get them in trouble.
Well, here's a thought. I mean, you're going in front of a microphone in front of people that are going to ask questions. How are you stunned by the fact that you're being questioned?
I don't know. I think sometimes when your media group is generally friendly to you and you get a question that seems a little more hard hitting. You know, I think sometimes that Andy Reid does that sometimes. You know, oh, you're pummeling me with the questions, or you know, that's a shock jock question or something. I mean, Andy Reid's guilty of that sometimes, and I think it is because. Sometimes, well, I would say that the Chiefs, media corps is a chuckle fest out there a lot of times. I mean, it is. I mean, it's laughing at jokes that aren't funny and, you know, oh, wasn't that delightful or, you know, call it spags and all this crap. You're a reporter. You're not a fan. And I think sometimes, especially in college, you do get some of that sometimes where the person gets comfortable. He's used to to most of the guys. Maybe they only ask a question every now and then, and it's generally a softball question. And all of a sudden, you get a real question. You're like, "Huh? What? You're not supposed to do that." I'm Coach Drinkwitz.
Situations like Steve Spurrier, South Carolina, getting guys just thrown out of the press conferences for good. That's cowed a lot of media and anyone who'd want to be maybe challenging. I probably sees that and goes, "Nah, I think I just better play nice."
I would think his 2 years at Auburn. As the quality control coach, his conversations with Gus Malzahn, who I assume he has a relationship with, and his 3 years at NC State, he would have heard a few negative questions. Like, those are pressure-filled jobs. Like, Dave Doran's been better at NC State than anybody's been in my lifetime. And they seemingly every other year are about to fire him. Right? Like,
He's been better than Eli Drinkwitz.
Yes. And so I don't know how, having been around those situations, you're not a little better equipped for, like, you know, oh, here's a real one. Okay. Like, just, you know, for God's sake, man, like, you know.
And if you're that confident, then it shouldn't be any issue whatsoever. You don't have to preface it by saying, well, it's also a way of trying to engage those reporters and make them, you know, soften up by saying, oh, no, hey, fellas, you know, you're trying to get me in trouble here. Ha, ha, ha. You know, let's not do that again. So I don't think it's that big a deal. I think what it comes down to is that he hasn't won at the level that you expect an SEC program to win. Right now, they still have 4 non-conference games, you know, every year. So it's a lot. It's easier to win than in other power conferences right now. Now, the league itself is difficult, certainly, but you're supposed to have, if you're a big bad SEC team, you're supposed to have 4 wins in your hip pocket. So he's just got to win more. Or you're right, it will get old.
Speaking of getting in trouble, we don't want Danny Klingscale in trouble. He's got a rehearsal dinner to get to. Big weekend for you, Danny. We appreciate you making some time for us. Congratulations to your daughter, to the whole family. Have yourself a great weekend, my friend.
Oh, I will have a great weekend. I've got a wonderful family here. I'm excited to be around them and probably – trying to keep the waterworks to a minimum this weekend is probably the most important thing.
And, let it fly, man. Yeah. Let it fly.
And for God's sake, let that dog out.
There's two of them. That was pretty good for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. No doubt about it. Danny Clickscale, he's the best. Headed for a great weekend. We wish him and the whole family a great, great weekend. We wish you a great, great weekend as well. And you can have a great weekend. Even if you own down at the lake, you need somebody to take a look at that roof. There's been a lot of lake damage, a lot of hail damage down at the lake with a lot of roofs. Joe Spiker and his team are working on it right now. Easton Roofing can get up on your roof. The only people I'll trust on my roof are Easton Roofing. Go to EastonRoofing.com or call 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his team, absolutely the best in the business. Don't worry about your lake house. Call Easton Roofing. They'll put all your worries to bed right now. Online at EastonRoofing.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's time to go around the country 2 minutes at a time. The drill is next.
All right, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, the second pair of teammates to each have 25 points and 10 assists in an NBA Finals game. Who's the other pair? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.